Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
What's up, everyone? We are back with another edition of the DNVR Rams podcast, presented as always by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Download it today. Use the promo code DNVR when you sign up. I've got a really fun episode for you guys. I was able to catch up with Will Darkey, who is an intern on the DNVR Buff side, but is very much into college basketball, lives and breathes for March Madness just like myself, and he was gracious enough to donate some time for me during his busy schedule to chop it up about the NCAA tournament. We previewed the slate of Denver games, but before that, we talked about the field as a whole. Went over the one seeds that we think are the most susceptible to an upset. We talked about three teams each that should be on upset watch outside of that. We each gave our favorite round one matchup for the various regions. It was just a lot of fun, and I know you guys are going to enjoy it. So instead of me rambling on and on in this intro, I'm just going to get straight to it. Real quick, kick off the new year with new gear that's built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and so much more. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn. They have durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. On top of all that, Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every single pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. So if you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they're going to send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. And if you don't love them, exchange for a new pair or return them free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. Exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the new year. Go to ShadyRays.com, use the code DNVR, or visit them in-store at Park Meadows Mall. You can get 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. Again, with that code DNVR, try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 200,000 people. I also want to shout out the homies over at Breckenridge Brewery. You guys know we love our Breck beers at DNVR, and that's because Breck has a beer for any occasion. There's no better way to watch a game than having some ice-cold Breck brew on deck. They've been doing it for 32 years, and it all comes down to their love and passion for making good beer. It's made with 100% renewable energy, gotta love that. And you've gotta love the awesome variety that Breckenridge offers. You can go with the classic Avalanche Amber Ale. I'm a big Mountain Beach Sour guy. You can never go wrong with the good company hard seltzer, excuse me. Whatever your poison, check it out at the Breck Beer Locator that is available at breckbrew.com. Take all the inconvenience out of beer shopping. And if you have not yet entered for our Breck Brew Ultimate Game experience, we've teamed up with Breckenridge Brewery to give away a pair of courtside tickets, Club Lexus access, a parking pass, DNVR gear, and more. If you are 21 or older, head to thednvr.com/BreckSweepstakes. You can also find the link in the podcast show description. The winner will be selected 1 week before each game. Again, you're getting hooked up with a pair of courtside seats, Club Lexus access, which includes complimentary drinks. All you got to do is tip the staff. It's awesome. Parking pass, super underrated. Winners will be selected 1 week before the game. You can find that link in the show description or go to dnvr.com/BreckSweeps. All right, we've got a special crossover edition today on the DNVR Hoop Circuit. I'm Justin Michael. I cover CSU. I'm joined by Will Darkey. He covers the Buffs. He is a college basketball expert. First things first, before we jump into this, how you doing, man? Thanks for taking the time out.
No, yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm so excited to be here, chat college hoops, and Yeah, even though both the Rams and the Buffs don't find themselves in the big dance, it's always still a good time to just be involved at this time of the year. So
the nice thing is March Madness is for everyone, even if your team doesn't make it. There's always that moment where you're just kind of like, I found myself sitting around on Selection Sunday, just like, man, last year was a whole lot more fun. But I'm still excited. I think it's going to be a crazy year in general. It feels pretty wide open in terms of the amount of teams you could realistically see making just some type of deep run. So I guess let's jump into it. We're going to preview the Denver games at the very end. First things first, though, we just kind of wanted to start with the general field, kind of just sparking the convo here. Who is the one seed that you think is the most at risk to be eliminated early on?
I think I'd have to go with Purdue out of the East. I will say they have impressed me this season. I was lower on them coming into this year. I didn't think Zach Edey would kind of blossom as much as he did stepping into this much bigger role this year, but he's looked really good. But outside of Edey, I don't know how much I really trust their freshman guards. And I also don't like the 8-9 matchup they have. If they can get past that, though, then you also have to get past a Duke Tennessee, which I personally like Duke. And I just think their path, it's just pretty tough. They like the 1-16, I can see them getting out of. But then the 8-9 Memphis, Florida Atlantic, I think either team that comes out of that game could totally knock out Purdue. And then, but if Purdue can get past that, then their Sweet 16 matchup is incredibly tough too. So yeah, I definitely lean Purdue. What about you?
Actually, I had Purdue as well. And for a lot of the same reasons, they just, out of the one seed, their path to getting even to the Elite Eight is brutal. Like you look at Houston or, you know, Alabama might match up with Arizona if we get the 1-2 at some point, but it's like, damn, just getting through Memphis to get to the Sweet 16 or FAU, who, you know, you mentioned the other day was probably underseeded. That's a rough path. That's a rough path for a team that's kind of been up and down. I really like their ceiling feels extremely high. I don't know if they're going to have the scoring to go with some of these other teams, especially, you know, if teams can limit Edey's impact.
Yeah. One thing that I did write about, because I have a Q&A that just came out on the Buffs beat with Jake, and kind of a similar question was asked, and I talked about Edey potentially being a player that could take over in the East, and he's kind of the guy to watch in that region. And the one thing that I wrote about was the referees and how Big Ten refs, like each conference has similar refs throughout the entire conference play. And so Big Ten refs got used to watching Edey play. And I think it could be an interesting storyline seeing if, I don't know, in the second round game against the winner of Memphis FAU, do they get like SEC refs or ACC refs or just like a different refs from a different conference? And how do they treat 7'4" Zach Edey? Is he getting a favorable whistle because he's probably going to be player of the year, or will they not be as kind to him? And so I think that could be an interesting thing to watch too.
That's a good point. I feel like a lot of the time, especially in the crunch time, we kind of see these whistles get swallowed by the refs. So if, I mean, you're allowed to beat him up and just hack him, that's going to kind of be the great offsetter, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know. I think Edey's pretty good at the line, but it'll definitely be something to watch out for.
That too. I mean, even if he gets it, can he hit his free throws in the crunch situation? We're already kind of started this, but who are three teams that you think should be on upset alert? I'll start. I'll throw one out. I've got Texas versus Colgate, Texas 2-seed, Colgate 15. I'm not trying to put anything crazy out there being like the Longhorns are going down. But when you look at Colgate, they're the most efficient 3-point offense in the entire country. They've got five guys that can hit from deep at any point. They're top 10 in 2-point offense as well, which I found to be interesting. Maybe that just has something to do with their success out deep. But there is a path, I feel like, where Colgate just gets absurdly hot. Texas gets kind of cold. If you're one of those guys that bets off of previous history, Texas doesn't have the best history of succeeding in the tournament. I wouldn't love this draw if I'm a Longhorns fan. I'll say that.
No, yeah. Colgate, when I was doing a little dive into that matchup, I think Colgate, all five of their starters average double digits. And so it's not one of those things where Colgate's got a 25 point per game score, and if Texas can shut him down, then Colgate's out of the game. Like, they're getting scoring from all five spots on the court, and it could definitely be an overwhelming matchup for Texas. And I think Colgate, I honestly think they could have gotten a nod at a 14 seed. I think they were maybe underseeded a bit, but that'll definitely be an interesting game. I think one that I just have had my eye on ever since I saw it pop up on Selection Sunday is Kent State, Indiana.
I'm glad you put that one. I was going to put it, but then I remembered you mentioning being like the game you're one of most excited for. So sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
Oh, no. Go ahead. All good. Yeah. I was never really sold on the Big Ten going into this season. And then they kind of proved me right. You look at like the Big 12, and it was this like cannibalistic conference of just everyone's beating everyone, but it felt like good team, like great teams beating great teams. Whereas with the Big 10, it just felt like a ton of mediocrity all around. And Indiana like has shown flashes of being good, but they've honestly just disappointed me more. And I don't know. I just like this Kent State team. The one thing that I keep going back to Kent State is they probably should have won the MAC last year, but they won their semifinal in the MAC conference tourney, and then a video surfaced out of like the post-game locker room where they were doing, I forget what it was, but it was kind of something obscene towards Akron, who was going to be their matchup in the championship game. And because of that, like four of their starters got suspended for the first half of that game. They went down big and then just couldn't come back. And so they lost and they weren't in the tournament. But they've returned a lot of guys from that team. And I think this season has just kind of been this like revenge story and like a we mean business, like no fooling around, no videos in the locker room. Like we're getting in, we're clocking in, and like we're going to work. And so I don't know. Every time I've watched Kent State, they've just impressed me, not only in conference play, but in the non-conference games earlier this season, they impressed me, and they showed up against some top seeds that you have in the tournament. So I'm going to go with Kent State. I also like Sincere Carey, who's a guard on Kent State. And I just think they could really throw a wrench in Indiana's style of play.
I'm right there with you with the Big Ten just being a whole lot of mediocre teams this year. And this is somewhat of a cop-out because I realize that Boise State is technically favored by Vegas, but I've got Boise State taking down Northwestern in the 7-10. I just think that they're going to have a hard time matching the offense that Boise State can produce. They've got guys that can create their own shot, which is not really something I see with Northwestern consistently. I think Degenhart, who's kind of like a 6'7" point forward, is a tough draw. And I like this Boise State team coming in. I think they play enough defense to kind of not get overwhelmed by the physicality and stuff that Northwestern is going to bring to the table. But just offensively, I think they're a little bit more potent. And I like the Broncos to win that game.
Yeah, I really like Max Rice on the Broncos too, the coach's son. He's got like a weird release. It looks weird when it's going up, but he can catch fire, and he could be a guy that, like, let's say Boise State's down 10. I think it actually happened in, it was a game just at the end of maybe the Mountain West regular season, or it could have been in the conference tourney, where Boise State closed the game on like an 18-4 run or something kind of like that.
And I know what you're talking about. I can't remember who
it was
against.
I think it was maybe like against San Diego State at the end of like regular season play. And yes, that was at Boise State, and I love home court advantage in college basketball, but I don't know. A lot of that was fueled by Max Rice, and so I think that's a great pick, even though, like you said, they are favored. And I think Utah State, too, I saw in the 7-10, they're also favored. So it's like this upset that Vegas doesn't even really view as an upset, but I also do like Utah State. But I guess the other one that I'll choose, I think I'm going to go with, I don't know if this will happen because I have been high on St. Mary's all year. No, I'm not going to go St. Mary's. I'm actually going to do Drake because I still haven't heard anything out of Miami's camp about Norchad Omier. And I just really like this Drake team, just super experienced. I think four of their five starters are seniors who have just played together for years. And then the one guy that's not a senior is kind of standout sophomore, Tucker DeVries, who's the coach's son. He's just, he kind of reminds me of this like Nikola Jokic. He's not like the level of Nikola Jokic, but like this power forward that can like run the point, just be pretty versatile out there. And I don't know, I think Drake, if Miami is without Norchad Omir, I think Drake stays close, as Vegas is saying. I think it's like a 2-2.5 point line there. So I think that game would just stay really close. And Drake is my favorite 12 seed, I'd say. So I'll go with the Bulldogs.
I like that pick a lot. I've got Drake making a Sweet 16 run, so I'm right there with you. I just think their experience is going to come into play in a matchup like this. They're not going to get flustered if they have a cold stretch, which offensively they can be a bit up and down at times, but I just think they're so tough. I'm really excited for that one. The last one that I'll throw out is number 13 Furman going up against Virginia. Furman's the most efficient two-point offense in the country. They're 10th in effective field goal percentage. To me, you know, that all they do is create quality looks. You're going up against a Virginia defense who's obviously stellar, but we've seen the path to upset with Virginia before. It's just them not being able to buy a bucket. And if Furman can do enough defensively to stop Virginia and they're hitting shots, I could see a situation, especially if Furman gets up early, where that's a tense situation for Virginia.
No, yeah, I could not agree more, because Virginia, like, it's good to note that one of their top scorers, Ben Vanderplas, went down with a fractured wrist, I think, a couple weeks ago. And so he's out for the season. And ever since he went down, their offense has just dipped in efficiency. And they're kind of lacking other options to score, because he was one of their main go-to guys in this offense that already just struggled. And so I really like Mike Bothwell on Furman too. He's this guard that has takeover potential. And if he gets streaky, then yeah, I totally see a scenario where Furman like goes up 10, and 10 is a lot of points to be down for this Virginia team, because they just don't go on runs.
Virginia and Tennessee are the two interesting ones to me, where defensively you wouldn't be shocked if they made a Sweet 16, an Elite Eight run. But offensively, it's just such a struggle watching either of those teams that I wouldn't be shocked if they both got bounced in the first round.
Yeah, I totally agree, especially with Tennessee. There's just been a lot of injuries that have sprung up as of late for these top seeds that make... I look at a lot of these just 12, 13, 14, that there's kind of an injury on the high seed, which then makes it a little more intriguing. And Tennessee's another one with their point guard Zakai Ziegler out for the season with the torn ACL. I guess like one more one that I'll toss out, just you tossed out Colgate, and I like the Colgate pick for like this year's St. Peter's. I also like UNC Asheville. I said that on the live show. Just UCLA, Amari Bailey looked good in the two games without Jalen Clark. He seemed to fit in and like kind of fill that role that Jalen Clark was in pretty well. But then Adem Bona also going down, it doesn't look like he'll be good to go for the first round, I don't think. And I don't know, UNC Asheville, I think they are the highest. No, they're not the highest because Colgate, but UNC Asheville might be second in KenPom for the 15 seeds. I'd have to check. Vermont's also up there too. I don't know. I just, all the 15 seeds intrigue me, but I think that's like the matchup that I like because of how UCLA's injuries have, they've kind of started to fall apart a little down the stretch. And UNC Asheville with Drew Pember, that could just be a lot closer game. And I think you were the one to say it on the live show too, with how UCLA gets off to slow starts.
Mm-hmm.
That I would not be shocked if UNC Asheville's up at the half. So that's just another 15-2 that, I don't know, they just are becoming more and more common with the transfer portal. It feels like, I mean, you see it at the top of the sport with, there's not really a true number one favorite. Like there's this kind of like top tier of teams that you can choose from, but there's not this runaway team. And I feel like you can also look at it with like the bottom of college basketball, it's just starting to even out, and the smaller teams are getting much and much better because the transfer rules have just gotten so much more flexible over the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've seen certain teams especially do a great job of going out and just finding great fits, especially. I mean, Creighton, I think, is probably the best example of that. Going out, you get an Arkansas transfer, Connor Van over at the big, and all of a sudden it's just like, well, that was like the one thing they didn't have. They already had the guard play, the shooters. Now they've got an elite big that can go toe-to-toe with, you know, some of these guys in the Big East, and then in the tournament when you're going up against SEC teams, Big Ten, whatever. It's really been interesting, and it's going to make for a fun field. Off of that, kind of what is your favorite game in each region? And we don't have to go super in-depth, but it could be anything. You know, when I'm looking at the West, I'm pretty intrigued by this Iona-UConn game just because of the coaches. I mean, anytime we've got Rick Pitino and Hurley involved, it could be intriguing. But I'm going to go Gonzaga-GCU just because I think it could be an offensive shootout. I'm very curious to see how Gonzaga deals with GCU, how close GCU can keep it. I think it's like a 15-point spread. It wouldn't shock me if they covered. Gonzaga doesn't overwhelm you defensively. But that's where I'm at with the West. What's your favorite game in the West?
In the West, I think I'm going to go the exact opposite way of offensive battle. The 5-12 St. Mary's VCU, I think, is just going to be such a fun, like, gutsy defensive battle. And it might be a race to like 50 or 55 in that game. But for a true basketball fan, it's just going to be such a fun, close game that I think goes down to the wire. And I don't know. I've loved St. Mary's like this entire year, but I don't
know. VCU's hot at the right time, man. Yeah. 9-game winning streak coming in. They play great defense. I mean,
yeah, literally no one's safe in March. So as much as I've been riding the St. Mary's team this year, I am really liking what I'm seeing from VCU, and they could definitely upset St. Mary's here.
I was bummed that they got, there was a couple of those where I was bummed they got matched up together. I was bummed also that Duke and Oral Roberts got the 5-12.
Yep. Yep.
I think Duke should have been a 3 or a 4 seed, especially after what they did in the ACC tournament. For Oral Roberts to get them, it's just a bummer because those are two teams. I'd like to see that game, but in the Sweet 16, not in the first round.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I forget if I said it on the live show or if I've just been talking about this bracket with everybody this week, but just seeing how Virginia still ended up at a 4 and Duke stays at a 5 after Duke beating Virginia, I felt like that maybe would have flopped after the ACC championship, but it didn't. And so
they don't care. They literally didn't, yeah, like, they didn't take account, unless you got eliminated and lost your auto bid. Making a run in your conference tournament seemed to do nothing for anybody. Penn State didn't get a boost for making it to the title game.
No.
Texas A&M didn't get a ton of love for what they did.
It was weird. Florida Atlantic crushed UAB in the CUSA final and didn't do anything. They stay at a 9, or they may even get dropped to 9. I don't know. It was a bit surprising to see Duke. I was at least expecting a 4 for Duke. Maybe they could have climbed to the 3, but yeah, to just stay at the 5, it does make it unfortunate, because I was really excited to get to move Duke and Oral Roberts, and now you got to pick one in the first round. But yeah,
I guess the benefit is whoever you buy into, either of those teams is capable of making a run. I've got Duke going to the Final Four. I just think they're playing good ball at the right time, and I don't know, it just feels like classic Duke to me, like one experienced player, some up-and-coming guards, everybody hates them, like it's just the perfect Duke time, and like nobody really sees it coming. That's also peak Duke. What's your favorite game in the Midwest? I'm going to go A&M, Penn State. I think it's just two teams that are playing really good ball right now and could, you know, potentially be frisky if they got hot.
Yeah, I totally agree. A&M, Penn State, I think, is my favorite, but I'll kind of ride one of the upset picks I tossed out. I think Indiana, Kent State would be a good game, but I think Miami Drake would be more exciting, maybe. So Texas A&M Penn State's my favorite. It's just two teams that are playing some of the best basketball in the country. I think Texas A&M, if you look, is top 10 on Bart Torvik over the past few months. Like they're one of the best teams in the country. And then Penn State has just been like clutching out quad one wins the past 2 or 3 weeks. And I had money on them in the Big Ten championship, and they went down 17. I was like, all right, game's over. I'll just start getting ready for the selection show. And then I check my phone, and all of a sudden it's like a 3-point game with a minute left. And I don't know, they sort of feel like a team of destiny. So that's my favorite. But yeah, with the Miami Drake, I love 5-12. I think those are my favorite first round games to watch, are the 5-12s, because you get this like decent high major program, but they're not the best. They've had some inconsistencies, which drop them to like a 5 or something. And then you get the 12, which is kind of when you start to see the small schools appear. And it just creates these great storylines. And I think Miami Drake is just my favorite. 5-12s are my favorite. Miami Drake in the Midwest, I think it's just going to be a great game.
All right, we'll get right back to that conversation with Will momentarily. When you get hurt, though, Backus and Shanker is here to help. Backus and Shanker wins for Colorado families. They have been helping those who are seriously injured in Colorado for more than 25 years. Free until they win money in your case. No upfront fee to speak with you about your case. No fee while they work on your case. And no fee unless they win your case and win money for you. Backus and Shanker has won over $1 billion for their clients, now with even more locations serving all of Colorado, including neighborhood offices in Denver, Aurora, Englewood, and Fort Collins. Backus and Shanker has the strength and power to win your case with more than 30 lawyers and 100 staff. Backus and Shanker helps with all kinds of injury cases when you weren't at fault, car accidents, motorcycle, rideshare, pedestrians, trucks. They can even help if you're injured at work. Call Backus and Shanker at 222-2222 to find out if you have a case today for free. Backus and Shanker wins. Finally, the madness is coming, and we've teamed up with Run Your Pool to give you a chance to compete in an awesome bracket challenge. Fill out your picks for all 64 teams in the tournament, get points for each picks you get right, and have an opportunity to compete against us and win cash prizes. First place is going to take home $300 cash courtesy of Run Your Pool, as well as a $75 DNVR locker gift card. Second place gets $150 cash. Third place takes home $50. And what's great, it's free to play. Run Your Pool is the home of competition, bringing sports fans and their friends together to connect and compete. RYP has over 50 game types for every sport you can think of. It's a one-stop shop for sports gaming. With over 2 million players, there's no better place to run your bracket for your friends, family, or office. Head on over to play.runyourpool.com/DNVR and don't forget to get your picks in. You can also find that link in the podcast show description. Last but not least, it's time to give you guys my DraftKings Pick of the Week. DraftKings Pick of the Week. Looking at the Midwest region, a team that I think is deceptively very capable of making a run, getting hot, Texas A&M as a 7 seed to win the Midwest region to make the Final Four. You can get that at plus 1,800. When you look at how they have been playing over the last 15, 20 games, they are one of the best teams in the country. Really like Buzz Williams. I think the value there is great. Because of that, I think it's worth throwing a flyer on Texas A&M plus 1,800 to win the Midwest region, make the Final Four, lock it in. Let's keep it with the 5-12 in the South. I've got San Diego State, Charleston. Charleston's going to be the popular 12-5 upset pick. It's odd to me, though, because when you look into the metrics, like, they're not a super efficient three-point shooting team. They really benefit from crashing the glass. San Diego State is one of the best defensive three-point shoot, or one of the best teams at defending the three-point shot in the country. They've just got so much length, experience. I think this is when the Aztecs finally break through and kind of get some postseason success. Obviously, the narrative around the Mountain West is not great. They've lost 8 straight NCAA tournament games as a conference, 22-55 all time. I like San Diego State in this one, and I think this is a matchup where they kind of show just how good they are.
I really agree with that. I've also just heard, I think you can hear different things from different outlets and different people, but I kind of have heard the consensus being that Charleston is the most popular 12-5. I think people might be riding this like fade the Mountain West, but I like this matchup for San Diego State, and I think it will be an entertaining game, but I think this is where the Mountain West breaks the curse, and I agree. I'm going with San Diego State and going against the public. but I think my favorite in the South, I think the Creighton-NC State game could be really fun, but I'll go with another Mountain West one. I'm going to go with Missouri, Utah State. That's just going to be an offensive shoot. It, like, defense is going to be optional in that game. Utah State is so fun to watch because they shoot so many threes and they make so many threes. And I don't know. I found myself watching a lot of Mountain West basketball down the stretch, and Utah State, they're on fire right now. They're like one of the hottest teams going into this tournament. And I don't know. I think they could help the Mountain West secure a second victory. So I'm, even though I think Vegas, like I said earlier, is favoring Utah State, they're not really an upset in this 10-7. I think it'll be a really fun offensive game, and I'm going Utah State.
I love it. I mean, I think it's going to be one of the more fun games. Who gets a stop could ultimately determine this one, who misses a shot late. I do wonder if Missouri State can kind of tighten things up defensively and Utah State starts missing shots. Is there anybody on the Aggies who can kind of just create something for himself, you know, create a little mid-range opportunity, get to the hoop? They struggled at times to do that against San Diego State. That said, the Mountain West title game is really hard to draw any type of major conclusions from because they play at like 9:30 at night on Friday and then turn around and are playing again at 1 p.m. in the afternoon the next day. It's one of the dumbest things in the country, but they do it because they want that CBS primetime slot. I get it. I love that. I think Utah State is really exciting. I'm hoping they represent the conference well. I think the Mountain West is a fun conference. It just has not lived up to the expectation. Closing things out with the East before we kind of dive into these Denver games specifically, maybe give out some Final Four picks. I think the Michigan State USC game is very intriguing, just in terms of like, I could see either of those teams getting hot and kind of making a run. Drew Ellis, USC, I love him. Michigan State in March is just a team that, I mean, they're kind of hit or miss. You're either going to lose right away or make a run at the Elite Eight. I'm curious how that game plays out. And then Memphis versus FAU is a game we've already talked about. But I just think a couple of mid-major showdowns, a lot of experience, a lot of talent at the guard position. I'm really excited for those ones.
Yeah, Memphis FAU, I said on the live show, it's the matchup I'm most looking forward to in the round of 64. The 8-9s, we got like treated well with 8-9s this year. I think all of them are going to be really fun games, but the Memphis FAU one, I don't know if it's just because I'm a sucker for these smaller schools. Memphis is decent size, but like still considered a mid-major. And then you have FAU having the best season in their program's history. I think it's going to be a game that's just played with a lot of heart. And I think it's going to be such a fun one. And whichever team wins that, I'm going with Memphis, but I could totally see FAU pulling it out too. But I think whichever team wins that will then really threaten Purdue, like I said. But then I also wrote about in the Q&A that the Kentucky-Providence game just has a really fun storyline in Providence. Yeah, Providence's best player, Bryce Hopkins, transferred out of Kentucky last year because he just kind of fell out of the rotation, wasn't getting the playing time he wanted. So he goes to the Big East and becomes like a first team player there. And I don't know. I think it's a revenge spot for him. And I wouldn't be surprised if he goes out and puts up like 30 points, but that should be a really fun game. And because it's the 11-6-2, maybe we have an upset.
Everybody loves Ed Cooley. Kentucky's got the pressure of having to make up for last year, and they haven't really been great this year. I mean, you see moments where they pop, but I don't know. It's been interesting to see some of these blue bloods that had, you know, guys come back, whether it's Kentucky and Shibwe or Baycott at North Carolina, and just it didn't really live up to expectations at all. It's kind of interesting. You would have assumed that with the experience they had, or even, you know, Timmy at Gonzaga, like it did not go how anybody thought.
No, yeah, it is just weird to look back, because I think the preseason top four, I remember there was like a top four tier at the beginning of the season, and it was UNC at the one, which we saw how that ended up. Kentucky may have been around the two, and they're in the tournament as six, but definitely not really sniffing like one of the top seeds. Gonzaga really turned their season around, but it was looking, yeah, dicey for a bit. And then Houston was the other one, and Houston's like the only team that's really come through. But yeah, I do agree with what you said about those other three teams that kind of didn't live up to expectations, I think you can, it translates well with the big men on that team. Maybe just, I feel like they all had like decent individual years, but I just don't know if it translated.
Like they didn't, they didn't really elevate their teams. It's just interesting. So I don't even have like a deep, like overarching point there. I just thought it was weird how it played out.
Definitely. No, I totally agree.
Before we preview these Denver games, just real quick, who do you got in the final four?
So my final four, I'm still like, it's Wednesday afternoon after this. I'm just like getting in the lab for basically the rest of the night and solidifying. And so,
right, so who is it right now? It's still room for tinkering.
Yeah, it's still rough, but I have to go Alabama. They've impressed me too much. Even though we had talked about it being a first round upset potential, I'm going Texas out of the Midwest. In the East, I've got Duke, and in the West, I've been swapping between Gonzaga and UConn. I think right now I have Gonzaga in my final bracket, but I like the metrics that UConn has, and they've like been one of the best teams in the country at points this year. So I'll also go UConn, but what was that? Alabama, Texas, Duke, Gonzaga.
I like it. That's fun. I've got Bama, Duke. I've got Kansas coming out of the West. And I've got Texas A&M upsetting Houston in the Elite Eight and making it to the Final Four. I've gone back and forth. I've flipped it about 14 times. I've also flipped in the title game between Kansas and Alabama so many times. I don't know where I even lean yet. I'll post it on Twitter on Thursday and make it official. But I've got Bama and Kansas in the title game.
I like it. I love that Texas A&M pick. It's ballsy, but like the perfect amount of ballsy with like you can back it with some real evidence and just
Playing good right now. I'm a big Buzz Williams guy. I think they're fun to root for. I thought they got screwed by the committee 2 years in a row, so I think they're going to have that us against the world mentality. And I like that they're in a region with Texas, with Houston, and games that are going to be in Texas when the focus is going to be all on those other two schools. I kind of like the spot that they're in. I think it's going to be fun to see how it all plays out. We're running out of time here, but we do need to preview these Denver games just a little bit. I'll be there at Ball Arena. I'll be writing some takeaways from the site. Hopefully going to get some good games. The first of the day, Friday morning, 11:30 a.m. Mountain Time. We've got the Gauchos of UC Santa Barbara taking on Baylor. Gauchos, they're an efficient offense, play pretty good defense. This Baylor team led by freshman guard Keontae George, one of the better three-point shooting teams in the country. Where I'm kind of interested is UCSB is one of the most efficient two-point offenses in the country. Baylor, one of the least efficient two-point defenses in the country, so maybe a hole there. That said, I'm a little surprised how much skepticism there is surrounding Baylor kind of going into this tournament. I think they're a really good team and they were in the best conference in the country. Where are you at on this one?
Yeah, I feel like we saw Baylor kind of sputter down the final stretch and they had two pretty bad losses. They weren't bad losses, but they lost pretty badly to Iowa State. But you look at what Iowa State is, they're this low scoring defensive team, like elite defensive team, and that's just not what UCSB is. And so I've seen the buzz around like, oh, can the Gauchos be a first round upset? I think it'll be a great game. I think it's two good offensive teams, and so it should be high scoring, and Ball Arena should get treated to a great first game. But I think if you look at the metrics, Baylor and UCSB are pretty similar, like styles of good offense, all right defense, but Baylor's just the better team. And so I side with Baylor. I think when we've seen them struggle, it's been against these elite defensive teams, and that's just not what the Gauchos are.
Good point. Creighton NC State is a really fun game just in terms of talent on the floor. DJ Burns with NC State's a character. Taquavion Smith, big guard, a guard having a big year. I really love this Creighton team, though. I think they're potentially good enough to win it all, and I think they might have the most complete starting five in the country. They have so much depth. I love what Nembhard brings to the table as a facilitator. Kalkbrenner, true seven-footer down low. Shireman, great shot. I mean, this is a team that is just built to win in March. I'm very interested to see how this game plays out specifically because NC State, when they're hot, like their high is really good. Their good is really good. But this Creighton team really intrigues me.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think I've got Creighton in my Elite Eight right now. When you get to the tournament, it's kind of like NBA playoff basketball. The rotations get shorter. It's time for the starters to basically just take over. And that's what you saw with North Carolina's starting five last year. They basically just would play the full 40 minutes and they made a run because they were clicking. And I think that's what you could get with this Creighton starting five. There was talks about how they're the best starting five at the beginning of this year. And then they had some illness situations in December with Ryan Kalkbrenner. But I don't know. I could see that the starting five getting in a groove and just... I think they could be dangerous, but NC State does pose a kind of fun, interesting threat for the first round.
Oh, by the way, real quick, a little correction. Earlier, I said Connor Vanover. He is on Oral Roberts. I mixed up him and Kalkbrenner, two Power Five guys, or that could be at Power Five, playing for mid-majors instead. But that Creighton team, a lot of fun. 5:30 p.m., we've got GCU Gonzaga. I love the experience Gonzaga brings to the table, even if they're not necessarily quite as athletic as, you know, maybe that 2021 team that made the run with Suggs. I kind of like that there's not no expectation. This is a program that's always expected to kind of make a run. But I kind of like that the pressure is off of this Gonzaga team, at least where it was at these last couple of years. You have a guy in Timmy who you can dump it off to at any point. That's a great I guess we'll just give it to him and he's either going to get a bucket or he's going to get to the line. I think so long as Gonzaga doesn't sputter early, they have a really good shot to make the Final Four.
Yeah, I love the point you made about like Gonzaga not being in the spotlight because these past couple of years it's been like, oh, Gonzaga's the number one seed overall and when they lose, we'll be like, wow, they just cannot win. But it's like you're a three seed now. Yeah, you're still up there, but... it's a quieter path that it's like, oh wow, Gonzaga's made it back to the Final Four, like good job Bulldogs. But the thing I like about Gonzaga is at first it felt, I don't want to call everybody else role players because there's so many good players on that team, but it did feel like it was Timmy and then everyone else was just not really finding their way. But I feel like down the stretch they've kind of come into their own. Julian Strother's playing some really good basketball. He played really good basketball in February, so I've got Gonzaga going far as well, but GCU is a fun team out of the whack. So you talked about it, but I think it'll be a good first round game as well.
GCU basically trying to become the new Gonzaga, to be that small school West Coast team that attracts top talent. They're bankrolled by Jerry Colangelo, so it's kind of an interesting situation. They've got a great home court advantage. Wouldn't shock me at all to see a ton of GCU fans make the trek out to Denver since that game is here. I'm looking forward to it. This has been awesome, dude. We're going to have to talk way more hoops in the future. It very much bums me out that this was the first time that we did this.
I know. This was a tough one.
Before we get out of here, can you see either of Arizona State or Nevada giving TCU a game?
I think... I'm low on Nevada. They kind of stumbled into the tournament. I didn't think they were going to make
it. I didn't think they would get in, even as a Mountain West guy. I was shocked.
Yeah, good for them to get in, but I think Arizona State's going to win. And then, I don't know. TCU's ceiling is so high, and they could totally come out. And we've also seen their floor is decently low. But I love Mike Miles. I think Damian Baugh as well. They just... TCU has just far better players that I think will be too much for both the Sun Devils or the Wolfpack. So I could be a good game, but I like TCU ceiling. So I'm riding with the Horned Frogs.
TCU is one of those, if all of a sudden you look up and they're in the Final Four, it should not be shocking because they play so hard. They've got great guard play. They're highly athletic. And they bring the fight to you. Like there won't be a moment in this tournament where TCU gets intimidated or you can punk them.
No, yeah, they're a six seed in the West, but the one seed in the West, Kansas, they went to Allen Fieldhouse earlier this season and beat them by like
20. They kicked their ass.
Yeah.
Nobody does that at Allen.
No, nobody does that. Like that was one of the worst losses in the Bill Self era at Allen Fieldhouse. And so TCU, they haven't always played like that, and that's why they're a 6 seed. But man, if they can get clicking, their ceiling is sky high.
Well, man, like I said, this was a blast. Make sure you're keeping up with all of our content throughout March Madness. Follow us at @DNVR_Rams, @DNVR_Buffs. Spring ball for football is going on. Pro day, all kinds of crazy stuff. So make sure you keep up with that. Shout out to all of you. Hope everybody enjoys this weekend. No better time. This is March, baby. Lock in.
Kid with the cuff khakis, wearing graphic tees, feeling way too trendy. Raps that kill, oh, I'm deadly. Primed and ready like machetes at a deli in New Delhi. Feeling scummy like Martin Scorsese. Turn jam into jelly, then drink it like juice. But water's the truth, so I sip on that too. Skinny looking kid with no car keys, like the only thing I drive is RCRV's. Got the stash like Steve Harvey. Oh, I'm gnarly like